Andrew Carnegie realized he would not be able to give away all his money during his lifetime. As energetic as he was about it, he was only able to give half away by the time he was 75. With all his gifts, he still had $135 million. He had long conversations with his friend Elihu Root to find a solution. Elihu Root was a great lawyer and Secretary of State under Theodore Roosevelt. He was Secretary of War under William McKinley and became a U.S. Senator from New York and would win the Nobel Peace Prize in 1912. Together, they came up with the idea of what would become the Carnegie Corporation of New York. It would be responsible for giving away the remainder of his money while he was alive and then continue after he died. In 1911, Andrew Carnegie transferred $125 million to the corporation, and it became the first and largest philanthropic trust of its kind ever established. This now gave time for Andrew to devote his remaining energies to his long-desired quest to find a solution for international peace. He attended the Smiley Brothers Lake Mohonk Conference on International Arbitration in 1895, and then 4 years later, the first International Peace Conference at The Hague, organized by Tsar Nicholas II of Russia, at which 26 countries were represented. This inspired him to organize his own National Arbitration and Peace Conference at Carnegie Hall in 1907. There, he and others spoke of international peace, the importance of arbitration before resorting to war, supporting the Court of International Law at The Hague, and disarmament. Carnegie's talks on disarmament drove Theodore Roosevelt crazy. Roosevelt yelled at him, "Isn't it your steel that is making our Navy the strongest in the world?" And he insisted that any country that pledged to arbitrate its differences would end up dishonored. Andrew funded Roosevelt's expedition to Africa on the condition he would stop through Europe and preach not arms buildup, but peaceful arbitration between nations. It didn't go well. With all the conflicts at the turn of the century, the Russian-Japanese War, the Spanish-American War, the Boer conflicts, the Boxer Rebellion, and dozens of other smaller conflicts throughout the world, Carnegie felt it was only a matter of time, and if a way wasn't found, all it would take was a small spark to set off a powder keg of international war. He gave $1 million for the building of the Peace Palace at The Hague, and then the largest single gift he had ever given up to that time, $10 million, for the establishment of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. The outbreak of World War I crushed him, but he did not give up hope. He wrote that the war was so horrific and barbaric that people would be revolted into, as he put it, realms of reason, and the realms of reason are the realms of peace. However, he also wrote that if a league of peace wasn't established at the end of the war, those defeated would start the whole thing all over again. Denied access to the Atlantic crossings and his beloved Scotland, where he and Louise traveled every year, they bought a house in the Berkshire Mountains at Stockbridge, Massachusetts. As the war progressed, Andrew became more and more of a recluse at his home in the Berkshires. He stopped writing and stopped corresponding. He saw very few people and wouldn't read the newspapers. For someone who had so much energy and never stopped talking or writing or working, it was shocking to observe. However, on November 10th, the day before the armistice was signed ending World War I, and 15 days before his 83rd birthday, Andrew Carnegie wrote to President Woodrow Wilson, thanking him for helping end the war. And Andrew, being Andrew, he told the president that the Peace Palace at The Hague would be a fitting place to discuss the destiny of the conquered nations and the future of world peace. His last public appearance was on April 22, 1919, when he walked his daughter Margaret down the aisle at her wedding. Margaret and her husband would have four children, and their descendants, along with the descendants of Andrew's brother Tom and his wife Lucy, today are scattered throughout eight states and Scotland. Andrew Carnegie died on August 11, 1919, at the age of 83. By his wishes, the funeral was a simple service, with no more than 20 family and friends and no eulogy. And then a train took his body to Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. On his tomb is written, "Here lies a man who knew how to enlist in his service better men than himself." Louise died in 1947 and would join Andrew at Sleepy Hollow at the age of 89. And Margaret would join them both there in 1990 at the age of 93. Today, the Carnegie Corporation of New York, along with a family of 22 related foundations, continues Andrew Carnegie's legacy.